In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on September 10th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm fine. I am fine as always. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
So today on the show, we have our LSU preview. It's that week, Ethan. We're getting right into the big time after just one sort of week off with Southern Miss, or that didn't really seem like a week off. We're playing LSU right there. We'll have our LSU preview. We've got an interview with Kerry Muntz of AndTheValleyShook.com, LSU's SB Nation site, and their podcast, The Go Show. I didn't mention this in the interview, but I'll go ahead and plug it. The Twitter account of the Valley Shook is at Valley Shook. It's Podcat, who is sort of the editor of that website. At Valley Shook, that's his Twitter account, and also at Go Show Kerry is Kerry Muntz's Twitter account. And also we'll be doing our SEC picks, and we've got some questions to answer. But right now, we'll jump into our LSU preview, and right now it is our interview with Kerry Muntz of AndTheValleyShook.com and The Go Show. So now on For Whom the Podcast Tolls, we have Kerry Muntz of AndTheValleyShook.com, LSU's SB Nation site. So I'll go ahead and just jump right into these, to my first question here. I think a big, since we weren't able to see it last week since the game was canceled due to weather, we weren't able to see the new defense that Kevin Steele has coming in. What are the biggest, in your opinion, what are the biggest differences between a John Chavis and a Kevin Steele defense, and do you really have a lot of many concerns about John Chavis's leaving?
I don't think there's going to be much of a change scheme-wise. Kevin Steele has come in and pretty much said that he's not going to go and change a whole lot because there wasn't a whole lot wrong with what John Chavis was doing. What I'm more anxious to see is the difference in defensive line play. Defensive line play was a bit of a hindrance on us last year defensively, really our front seven and all, until Kendall Beckwith entered the starting lineup. But Steele's come out and said he's not going to change too much scheme-wise. They're staying with a 4-3. I'm interested to see if he's going to stick to more read and react type of defense like Chavis was, or if he's going to come out and put pressure on second and long situations and things of that sort. Or is he just going to kind of sit back and let his defense kind of react and make the plays? We saw a very small glimpse of it Saturday night against McNeese State, but we saw one series apiece, and the one series on defense, LSU had McNeese second and long, and they brought pressure. So if that's any indication, I know it's a very, very small sample, but you know, scheme wise it'll stay the same, but as far as the way they do what they do in certain down and distance situations, I think that's where that's going to be a difference.
I've got a question regarding the quarterback situation down in the Bayou. And I was just wondering, you know, do you think Brandon Harris is the answer for LSU at quarterback? You know, is he going to be good enough? Because there hasn't been a good quarterback since, you know, Zach Medenberger. Last year it was a bit of a mess for y'all. So does Brandon Harris fix that?
The good answer is we just don't know. When we didn't that's the most disheartening thing about that game getting canceled on Saturday night is not being able to watch him play on Saturday. And you know, there's a few people that think he is the answer. Is he good enough to take this team that was 8-5 a year ago and turn it into a potentially 10-11 win team? You know, I don't know. He's got a lot of weapons, but, you know, he's also got to make the throws, and he's got to show better command of the offense, which he didn't do that in his Auburn start last year. He was thrown into the wolves a little bit. It was kind of almost an unfair situation he was thrown in, but at the same time, he wasn't prepared. He's admitted he wasn't prepared. He kind of took things a little lightly last year, and that was a lot of the word in the offseason about how much more mental preparation he did. We know he's got the talent. We know he's got the arm strength. It was the mental aspect that he didn't really focus in on and hone in on too much. But is he the answer? I think in regards to whether Tim or Anthony Jennings is the answer, if you're asking me if I think he's a guy that can lead us to a potential SEC championship, I don't think this year's quite the year. I know we've had some ESPN experts kind of going out on a limb and putting us in the college football playoff. I'm not ready to do that yet. I need to see something first. I need to see him on the road against y'all on Saturday. I need to see him against Auburn. And until then, I might have an answer for you at 11:30, 12 o'clock Saturday night. But right now, I'm not ready to go out right now and say he is the answer for LSU football.
So my next question is just about the team in general. For the game Saturday, of course, it's kind of – I haven't seen any of the experts' picks, but for as far as I know, the game is back and forth when it comes to picks. I know LSU is the favorite in the line. Some people are picking State. Some people are picking LSU. If there is one difference between Mississippi State and LSU, or at least one area of play that LSU has that could really just dominate Mississippi State and can change the game, that is sort of an area of the game that LSU could win over Mississippi State that could ultimately be the decision maker of the game, which area of LSU's team would that be?
I think definitively you got to say the running game. Leonard Fournette, followed by a host of other, you know, a couple of true freshmen, and Darius Geis and Nick Brissett, and Darrell Williams, who was also a true freshman last year with Fournette. I think you're going to see LSU try to instill itself there. When Mississippi State has lost a lot on both sides of the ball last year, I think it's important if LSU wants to get out of the gates early, they need to establish the offensive side of the ball with the offensive line and establish that running game. You know, slow it down a little bit if you want to use a basketball term. Just kind of you don't want to really play in the Mississippi State's hands and try to get into a kind of a scoring battle and let Dak Prescott start kind of running around and doing his thing offensively and putting him on the field a whole lot. And that's where LSU failed last year in the first half last year. They could not establish anything last year, and Dak made play after play in the first half, and before you know it, the game was way out of hand midway through the third quarter. But I think with LSU's returning on offense, on the offensive line, potential Heisman candidate Fournette versus what Mississippi State has lost, I think that's one area where LSU should be able to establish itself. And right now, they're in the film room right now, should be looking to exploit in order to gain some type of advantage on Saturday.
Okay. Daniel, do you have any other real questions? Because this next one that I have is a little bit odd.
No, I do not. You go ahead.
Okay. Did you know that a pink dolphin named Pinky lives in Calcasieu Lake?
What a question.
Completely throwing me off. This is an acronym for something. What is this?
No. I mean, there's a real dolphin in, you know, it was discovered back in 2007, and scientists aren't exactly sure why it's pink. Some speculate it's a type of, you know, albinism, an albino dolphin. Some speculate that it might be a genetic disorder. But what I really want to know here is, why is Pinky, this bright pink, Pepto-pink dolphin, not LSU's mascot?
It should be. Let's go for it, man.
be LSU fighting pink dolphins.
The fighting pink dolphins?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Pink dolphins are native to Louisiana. Tigers aren't, you know.
Apparently pink dolphins are native to Louisiana. We're just discovering this.
Yeah.
But that was one interesting way to wrap up this interview. But Carrie, we appreciate your coming on to For Whom the Podcast Tolls. Make sure to check out their website and thevalleyshook.com, LSU's SB Nation community, and Carrie's and Valley Shook's podcast, The Go Show. We're going to be on their show for an interview too. And Carrie, thank you for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank y'all, too. Appreciate y'all, too. Y'all, too.
So thank you to Carrie for coming on to the show. Also, we were interviewed by Carrie on The Go Show and the Valley Shook's podcast. Over there, you can see it on iTunes. You just search The Go Show, the and then go, the Louisiana way of spelling it, G-E-A-U-X, show. You can see that on iTunes, and I'm sure they'll upload it on And the Valley Shook. But once again, thank you, Carrie, for coming on the show. So, Ethan, it is that time we get to play the Tigers of LSU. The Fighting Tigers, the Fighting Ed Orgerons, whatever. The Hats, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
We get to play them this week. You know, Ethan, as I'm sure a majority of the listeners know, or at least the listeners that listened last week, I'm 15 years old, and last year was the first time Mississippi State ever beat LSU in my lifetime. I was screaming like a little girl, and now we've got as good of a chance as ever to beat them for the second year in a row, the first time that's happened since 1990-1991. Ethan, what are your immediate thoughts of this game?
I think State's best chance at winning, you know, I said this on the Go Show, is to get it into a shootout. You know, I'm not convinced that LSU has the firepower to keep up. I think that our defense still has some gaping holes. So if they can just produce some turnovers like Manny Diaz used to, you know, back when he was here in 2010, just be enough of a defense, slow them down enough, I think we can outscore them easily. I'm not convinced that their defense can stop us. Yes, it should be better than last year, and last year is pretty good. I do believe that with Daronya Wilson playing, with this being a real game, and hopefully Fred Ross coming out of whatever funk he was in last week, I think Dak Prescott can have a huge game. I think... Who's that... defensive back that they're missing again?
Jalen Mills, safety.
Jalen Mills. He was their best player on defense. You know, he's gone now. Throw it over the middle to Daronya Wilson, who's bigger than any defensive back in the nation. You know, I think this can be a shootout, and I think that is Mississippi State's best chance at winning this game.
In my opinion, this game comes down to the ground game. If Mississippi State's second, we saw it against Southern Miss. I don't know if it'll improve at all if Tevez Calhoun plays against LSU, but our secondary is still bad. As far as we know, unless Brennan Harris has absolutely had some magical change over the offseason, we haven't seen him any. We didn't see him against McNeese State because there was no game against McNeese State canceled due to weather.
Thank you, Nature.
Yes, thank you, Mother Nature. Thank you, Louisiana weather. We don't know what he looks like. He's had no reps in an actual game, with the exception of a couple plays. I think Carrie said on our interview that there was one possession that LSU had and one possession that McNeese State had. Other than that, we don't know what he looks like. I know that LSU has a bunch of talented receivers, but the big question is, can Brandon Harris get it to them? If our secondary actually shows up, we can possibly have a good chance at being able to cover him, but as far as we know, our secondary is really bad. But as far as we know, they have no passing attack, so that sort of just cancels out.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, LSU has a guy that you may have heard of named Leonard Fournette. And our defensive line was good last year, and as far as we know, in the Southern Miss game at least, of course, that's Southern Miss, and we're about to go against Leonard Fournette, but against Southern Miss, which is all we know about ourselves at this point, we gave up slightly over 100 total rushing yards from, I think, 30-something carries, which averaged out to just 2.8 yards per rush. So our defensive line and our front seven is just fine. In my opinion, it's just, can we stop Leonard Fournette? If we can stop Leonard Fournette, I think the sky's the limit for Mississippi State. Of course, with that being said, we don't really know as far as we know, Dak Prescott is going to have a great performance against LSU since he sort of showed out. He sort of showed the nation, hey, I'm a big-time player. Mississippi State said, hey, we're a good team last year against LSU. We're assuming that our offense will have a good heyday. We'll have just a heyday against LSU. We don't know what the Kevin Steele defense will look like. If we can stop Leonard Fournette, that is the best chance we have of winning this football game.
Here's to looking at you, Richie and Beniquez Brown.
Yes.
Richie Brown had a great game against Southern Miss.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
11 tackles, something like that.
11 tackles and an interception, yeah.
Yeah. If he can have that kind of performance again, I think we're either right in this game, assuming LSU is scoring, or we are blowing them out at this point.
Certainly. I don't know if Brandon Harris is necessarily a running quarterback. I don't know that.
I believe he's a dual threat, but
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
Know how good he is at running.
But I mean, apparently, according to Carey, that LSU has some returners on our offensive line. If guys like AJ Jefferson and Chris Jones show up like they did against Southern Miss, we will be absolutely wreaking havoc on Brandon Harris, getting him to have hurried throws and maybe getting some sacks. Because I think AJ Jefferson had 2 sacks. Maybe Chris Jones had a sack. I could be wrong.
So. Would you be surprised if this game, Brandon Harris on the road, he hasn't had a lot of playing time. We don't know how good he is. Obviously, he's had more playing time than last year's game against Auburn. But, would you be surprised at all if this game didn't turn into, Auburn's game against LSU last year, where they just, Auburn completely blew the doors off of LSU?
I'd be very surprised.
But, honestly...
I don't think that'll be a game like 41-7, which I think was the final score of that LSU-Auburn game.
But
I just don't.
We've touched on the fact that, if you stop Leonard Fournette, we believe that their offense is stopped.
Mm-hmm.
We've touched on the fact that we should be able to score plenty of points against. Maybe this is just me.
I personally think that even though LSU... barely has a passing attack, they'll be able to produce through the air. I truthfully think so. I think our secondary is that bad that they'll be able to produce yards through the air. I mean, I don't care. Because, look at the receivers that LSU has. You've got Travon Dalrymple, Malachi Dupree. I'm sure that there are a bunch of other names that I'm missing. So I truthfully think that LSU will be able to produce through the air. If LSU will be able to produce through the air and Leonard Fournette has a big game, in my opinion, we have no chance. In my opinion, stopping Leonard Fournette is the most important thing that Mississippi State could do. Because truthfully think that our secondary is so bad that LSU will be able to produce through the air. So I do not think it'll be a 41-7 game. I think the biggest margin of victory Mississippi State could have is 14.
Okay.
Because I think that our secondary will struggle.
Yeah.
But for right now, I have faith in our defensive line and our front seven. I have faith in their being able to get pressure on Brandon Harris and be able to get pressure on Leonard Fournette and be able to stop the rushing attack. But once again, I do not have faith whatsoever in our secondary, and I will not have... And when we get to teams like... When we end up playing teams that thrive through the air, I think we're going to have a lot of trouble... And I think we're going to really struggle against a team like Ole Miss, who obviously their strength on offense is through the air. I think maybe our secondary will get figured out by then, but on LSU, I think they'll be able to produce through the air.
I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to blow the doors off of LSU. I'm just saying, hypothetically, we stop Fournette, but you obviously think that they have just enough offense through the air to put yards and points up.
I truthfully do think so.
Yeah. One thing that I saw earlier is apparently we are going to see a couple of freshmen playing in the secondary. Bob Trescaden tweeted this out. For Mississippi State.
For Mississippi
State. We're going to see a couple of new faces. There's going to be a bit of a rotation.
That scares me. Which,
well, it scares me, but it also leads me to believe that Dan Mullen is finally trying to find a way to fix the freaking secondary.
I mean, we're assuming that Tevez Calhoun will be back. So I guess Tevez Calhoun and Will Redmond will be lock starters. Talando Cleveland was Tevez Calhoun's replacement, and he sort of just got beat around all day in Southern Miss. I guess, well, do you think, I mean, does he say, did he, I guess he just didn't say flat out the names of these players that Dan Mullen is referring
to. Yes, he did.
Did he?
Safety Mark McLaurin.
Yes.
Then quarterback Maurice Smitherman.
I believe Maurice Smitherman was a four-star at a high school. He was pretty highly recruited. Is Mark McLaurin a junior? Because I think he's from junior college. But I could be wrong.
1 minute. Let me look him up.
I don't know why, but I think that Mark McLaurin's from junior college.
I'm a little disappointed we're not going to see Jamal Peters.
If our secondary gets to a point where it can absolutely do nothing, we could see him.
Mark
McLaurin is a freshman. I'm completely wrong.
Yeah,
he was a three-star at school. So yeah, Mark McLaurin and Maurice Smitherman. I'm kind of surprised that Maurice Smitherman is getting that playing time before Jamal Peters.
Different positions.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I'm an idiot for saying that.
1 minute. One thing that I found interesting about McLaurin is his size, because he is 6'3", 200 pounds, which could be helpful against some of those receivers, whereas Jamal Peters, I mean, he's 6'2", 205, so that's negligible. So, I don't know why McLaurin would be getting the
playing time. Maybe just overall development.
I don't know.
In practice, maybe.
I know Peters was playing special teams coverage.
Well, there's something.
Yes. So, yeah. But, so I'm a little optimistic.
But I'm scared about a possibility of two freshmen coming in and having to play in our secondary. That scares me. But hey, I could be surprised. I could be very much surprised, and our secondary absolutely comes out. I'm going to tell you this. I think if our secondary lock completely locks down, but Leonard Fournette has a Heisman-type game, I don't think we'll win.
So, for you, it's all about
stopping Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Just completely shutting him down. We were able to do it last year. I'm going to look up those stats from last year's game really quickly. Please. Okay. We held Leonard Fournette to 7 carries for 38 yards last year.
That was also before he became really freaking good later on in the season.
That's a very good point.
So I am just interested in seeing how Fournette plays from the standpoint of he hasn't had any playing time
yet
this season.
Certainly. So, I mean,
We saw a whole bunch of praise for Ashton Shumpert, but, you know, when he actually played, he didn't play well. And take that with a grain of salt with the comparison between Ashton Shumpert and Leonard Fournette. I'm just saying that as a point of, you know, we expected Shumpert to be better than he was. Obviously, Leonard Fournette is, at least right now, step or five above Shumpert. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens when, you know, he actually gets the ball.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, with how our defensive line performed against Southern Miss, I've got confidence, or our front seven, our entire rush defense in general, performed against Southern Miss, I have confidence they can stop Leonard Fournette. But once again, it's Leonard Fournette. So, yeah. This is just having to wait and see. I mean, we can talk about, what we need to do, but it's just all about having to do it. But in my opinion,
so,
it's just stopping Leonard Fournette.
Okay, so, we gave a score prediction for the Go Show. Do you want to go ahead and share with our listeners what those score predictions were?
Yeah, I said Mississippi State, and I'll go. In my opinion, if Mississippi State loses, it's because I'm picking Mississippi State. I am confident that if we lose, blame me. Because I have never picked Mississippi State to beat LSU in my entire life, and I'll tell you the truth, I am not the least bit confident in my pick. I am not confident at all, but I am picking Mississippi State to win something like 34-31 or 35-31.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing that, you're not confident at all, because we're not losing to LSU. just quit worrying about it. I don't think.
Mississippi State's 1-14 against LSU in my lifetime, Ethan. I've seen Mississippi State lose to LSU 45-0, and I've seen LSU lose to LSU when we had four opportunities to get a touchdown in the end zone.
But think about it. In the past 365 days, we're 1-0, and that's all that matters.
Actually, not really, because I believe that game against LSU was late in September last year. So not was technically it? 365.
Oh, it was our fourth game.
But it's been a year when it comes to football standpoint.
No, 365 days covers the game.
But that was like September 20-something.
It's not exact, but within 365.
It's been a year.
Yeah. In the past year, we are 1-0, and that's what matters right now. We're on a winning streak. Okay?
Ethan, I'm picking Mississippi State. I'm just not confident.
I know, but you're... Yeah. Whatever. Quit looking
I'm sorry.
Ancient history of, 2 years in the past. Let's look at what's happening right now. Okay. And right now, Mississippi State is on a winning streak against LSU.
Whatever you say, buddy.
Yeah. I think Mississippi State's best hope is to really get this into a shootout. Force LSU to try to find some offense. Manny Diaz, please work some magic with that secondary. Get a couple of picks here and there and just keep them from scoring just enough. On the Go Show, I said it'd be something like 45-42, and I don't know if these two teams have ever collectively scored that high in a game, but I honestly think that Mississippi State's best chance right now is to, like 2013 A&M. The defense was questionable.
51-41 final score, certainly.
No, I'm not comparing us to that game. I'm not saying that game. I'm saying this Mississippi State team needs to be like that A&M team, at least right now.
I thought you were talking about like high-scoring games. I apologize.
No.
My bad.
I'm saying this team needs to find a way, either find some defense or find a way to outscore just about anybody in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that A&M team ended up going 9-4, and I think a lot of Mississippi State fans would be happy with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there are some that would not, but those people are way too optimistic. So we both have Mississippi State winning, and I cannot believe that I'm actually. I cannot believe that I'm actually picking Mississippi State to win. And once again, if we lose, blame me. Bring all your negative comments to @dblack97. Please don't give them to Ethan because it's my fault.
I'll take them. I'll have fun with them.
Whatever.
I'll quote you and possibly publicly shame you.
I'll deserve it if we lose. I will genuinely deserve it. So, we both have Mississippi State winning. So it's time for our annual, or not annual, that was weekly tradition. Yes, we do this only once a year. Our weekly tradition of SEC picks. Ethan Lee, I have a 2-game lead over you. Ha ha, ha 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 ha.
You almost didn't, though.
Yeah, be quiet. Well, you know what I do, Ethan.
Okay.
So ha, okay. Ha 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 ha.
There's a lot of season left.
What do you mean, like seasoning, like pepper? Or maybe salt, because you're salty, am I right? I'm going to leave. I have a 12, my current record is 12-1, your current record is 10-3. And this week's slate of games are quite exciting. We start at 12, or at 11 a.m. on the SEC Network. Check out this heck of a game, Jacksonville State at Auburn. You know,
wouldn't that be a fun upset?
You know, Jacksonville State beat Ole Miss back in 2010, so hey.
Was it 2010 or 2011?
2010. I remember that because Mississippi State just obliterated Memphis that same week.
Okay. I think we're both in agreement that there's no way this Auburn team loses to Jacksonville State.
I agree. So we both have the Tigers of Auburn defeating Jacksonville State. Next up at 2:30 p.m. on ESPN2. What a game to be on ESPN2. Fresno State at Ole Miss. The Bulldogs versus the Rebels.
That'd be a fun upset to see, too.
Yeah, really. But
I don't see it happening.
Me neither. We both have Ole Miss defeating Fresno State. And on the CBS 2:30 primetime game of the week with Gary Danielson and Vern Lundquist, we got this thriller, Georgia at Vanderbilt.
Wouldn't it have been fun to see Mississippi State and LSU on CBS?
I prefer 8:15.
Wouldn't it have been fun to see Oklahoma at Tennessee at, you know, on CBS?
I'm pretty sure that wouldn't be technically SEC Game of the Week, since they did that with Auburn Louisville, because it would only be CBS, so I think they have to pick two SEC teams.
Then they should have gone with Kentucky at South Carolina.
They really should have.
Because there's no way Georgia and Vanderbilt is going to be a fun game.
I'm picking Georgia by about 35.
I'm going to go with Georgia by 45.
Oh, well, look at there. But you know what? We're picking the winner, not the scores. We both have Georgia. So we both have Georgia. Toledo versus Arkansas at 3 p.m. on the SEC Network.
You know, a couple of years ago, Toledo might have won this game.
The Rockets over John L. Smith and smile! If you don't smile, I'm not talking!
So, yeah, no, do you think there's any way that they upset Burt?
Arkansas wins.
Yeah, easy.
We both have Arkansas. Just another exciting game here. Middle Tennessee State at Alabama, 3 p.m. I mean, this is probably the only time where Alabama is going to be on the SEC Network and not like ESPN or CBS. Probably this is history, folks. We could see Alabama on simply the SEC Network with Middle Tennessee State coming into Tuscaloosa.
I think they win by, like, 97 points or something.
Yeah, I'd say, like, 92.
Yeah. This one won't even be fun. There are really so few good games this week.
They're really... It's very true. But we both have the Crimson Tide, and right as we say, there aren't a lot of good games this week. 5 p.m. on ESPN, the Oklahoma Sooners travel to Knoxville to take on Tennessee.
I think this will probably be the most fun game of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly don't think, I'm not sold that Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback.
He's a good dancer.
I'm not sold that Bob Stoops can go into Neyland Stadium and just walk out with a win.
Okay.
I completely believe that this Tennessee team, which, you know, I've compared it a couple times on the offense to Mississippi State last year, I think just all in all, this team looks a lot like 2014 Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Oklahoma has
what it takes to beat
at home. I just don't see it. Not at home. Not in Nayland.
Are you saying Nayland?
Nayland? Nayland? Oh, whatever. I don't care.
Charlie Burris is offended.
Is it Nayland?
It's Nayland.
Well, I'm not from Tennessee.
The UT I'm from Tennessee. The UT from where I'm from is Tennessee.
Well, that's cool. I just don't, you know, regardless of how you say it, Tennessee's going to win.
Yeah, I say Tennessee as well. I mean, the problem, Ethan, is whenever we text, when you're talking about Texas and you're talking about UT, I think you're talking about Tennessee.
Nope.
Well, we're...
No, it's...
Well, I'm from the place where Elvis lived, so ha. What does Texas have?
I'm actually not a big fan of the state of Texas.
Well, then never mind.
Yeah.
Hot takes. Hot takes on a Thursday, I guess.
Speaking of a Texas team, Texas A&M is hosting Ball State.
Except East Carolina and Florida is before that.
We're looking at two different...
I'm on ESPN.com. I'm on the...
See, you're not even... You should have just gone to the SEC page.
I'm sorry.
Because we're talking about SEC picks.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so East Carolina at Florida.
This was a rematch of the bowl game last year.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that close.
Yeah, me neither.
The bowl game was.
I pick Florida.
Do you think Will Grier or Treon Harris starts?
I mean, Treon Harris started last week, and he had a great performance, so I'm just going to say Treon Harris sticks it out again. But Will Grier...
Regardless...
I said this, I said this in my SEC recap that Will Grier had playing time and play well, so it's obvious that Jim McElwain hasn't put all his faith in one quarterback. But I think that Treon Harris starts.
Yeah.
So we both picked the Gators, and then at 6 p.m. on ESPN3, Missouri at Arkansas State. I mean, they're traveling to Jonesboro to face the Red Wolves. Traveling there.
That's about as weird as us going to Southern Miss or us going to South Alabama.
I'll go ahead and give...
None of those travels should happen.
I'll give Arkansas State credit because, of course, they had three coaches by the names of Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, and Brian Harsin, who all left after 1 year at Arkansas State. And Arkansas State finally found a coach. I don't know his name, but he's been there more than 1 year. So good for the Red Wolves.
So, do you think that translates to them upsetting Missouri?
No. We both have the Tigers winning. And then Ball State at Texas A&M. Your favorite team.
I'd love to see Ball State just come in and put up like 80 points after Arizona State couldn't do anything. I'd love to see that.
Well, but I don't think Ball State sometimes you will don't get everything like that you points. Want.
No. A&M's going to win big.
I agree. Kentucky at South Carolina. Kentucky defeated South Carolina in Lexington a year ago.
What are your thoughts on this one?
I know who you're going to pick. I know. You say you want me to pick first, so I know who you're going to pick. I'm picking South Carolina. If this were at home for Kentucky, I'd pick the Wildcats, but it's at South Carolina. Both of these teams are mediocre at best. But I'll pick South Carolina in a game that's like 17-14. It'll be so boring.
I said it last week that South Carolina's game would just be stupid bad.
Yeah.
It'd be just horrible to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
Yeah.
And I think... this one will be stupid bad as well.
Except?
Kentucky almost lost to Louisiana Lafayette.
That's true.
And then South Carolina is... They have no offense.
They really should have lost to North Carolina if it weren't for North Carolina throwing two red zone interceptions. That were just incredibly bad interceptions.
Both of these teams suck. everybody was hyped up about Kentucky. Oh, they're going to be good this year. Oh, I've yet to see them actually be good.
Ethan, let's wait until next week, and I'll show that I still have faith in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm not buying Kentucky as a good team yet, but I'm going to go and say they continue. You know, they beat South Carolina. Just for the sake of, there's no other game on here that we're going to differ, and I'm not sold on Steve Spurrier not retiring after the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So
we both, or you have Kentucky, I have South Carolina, and then we both already picked this one, LSU at Mississippi State.
Yeah, and we both. You've been back and forth.
Though. I've been very. When I first saw this game, I had LSU, and then I changed to Mississippi State, and then after Mississippi State's game, I said LSU by double digits, and now I have Mississippi State. And once again, as I've said before, I'm picking Mississippi State with as little confidence as humanly possible.
Yeah.
So, you've got State, I've got State. So, I will have either a 4-point lead by the end of this, or...
4-point?
I'm leading by 2, my bad. I will either have a 3-point lead or a 1-point lead. So, Ethan, I will still have the lead after week 2.
Yeah, okay.
But you can either...
There's a lot more weeks to come.
That's true. But you can either chomp into it or let it slide.
Yeah.
So, that'll do it for our SEC picks, and now it's time for questions! We need to get, like, some question theme song. That would be fun.
We need to get more questions before we get theme songs.
But we've gotten questions, like, every single day we've done the show, which is actually more than I expected, to truly tell you the truth.
Which is true. And we get a decent... crowd of questions each time, so.
Mm-hmm. So, the first question, in fact, I believe Owen McGuire, he sent us both an email question and a Twitter question. I'm not sure if the email question is the same as the Twitter question. So here we go. Yes, it is a different question. Our first question is from Owen McGuire. On email, you can send us email questions to mstatecast@gmail.com. Hello, Daniel and Ethan. With an outcry after the Southern Miss game of never play this team again, and I wholeheartedly agree with the sentiment, that's Owen saying that in parentheses, what is a team you would like to see Mississippi State play, even if just for name value? I would personally love a matchup against Notre Dame, Owen. Ethan, you would like to go first?
Okay. I mean, I think it'd be cool. Yeah, I was saying back in 2013 that it'd be cool to have a yearly matchup with Oklahoma State. I still think that would be fun.
Especially since Oklahoma State's not that good anymore.
Oh, yeah.
They nearly lost to Central Michigan the other day.
Yeah. You know, a school like... Kansas State, which I think we're going to play them in a couple years.
Apologies for that last tone. What were you saying?
But yeah, Kansas State.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're playing
a
couple years anyway.
We are playing Kansas State, I believe, in a home-and-home in the future.
And one matchup I'm really looking forward to is the BYU game, you know?
Yeah, in Provo the next 2 years that I will be attending in 2016, I hope.
I need to find a way to get up there.
That is such a beautiful stadium. I mean, goodness gracious, the mountains, and that is such an awesome place.
It's such a beautiful area. Coming down from Wyoming this past May and drove through Utah, and it's just such a beautiful area.
Certainly. It certainly is. So, what's your choice? Just any of those?
My choice?
Just any of those?
Just any of those?
Kansas State, Oklahoma State, whatever. Yeah. I genuinely don't know. I mean, yeesh. One stadium, I'll go ahead and say UCLA, simply because we'd have the opportunity to play in the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is on my bucket list of places that I want to go. and watch a football game. I want to go to the Rose Bowl someday. And I had an opportunity to because Memphis played UCLA last year in the Rose Bowl, but State was playing, I believe that was the UAB week last year. And Memphis actually nearly beat UCLA. It was 49-42 is that final score. But I'd probably say someone like UCLA or someone in the West Coast because I like the California, all that places, they're neat places. So I'll go with like UCLA.
What about Washington? You know, they're right there on Puget Sound. And they're not a good team, so we could easily beat them.
Yeah, certainly. Or maybe Boise State. I would love to see the Smurf Turf.
Smurf Turf?
Smurf Turf is wonderful.
Yeah. So there's a few schools out there that would be cool to go to.
Definitely, certainly. So, Owen, thank you for your email question, and then you sent us a Twitter question. You can send us Twitter questions at our Twitter account, at MStateCast. Owen McGuire again. Who has the bigger benefit, us with a game already behind us, or LSU with no game film for our review?
We've already touched on this a little bit, both on our show and on the Go Show.
Indeed.
We don't know what LSU looks like at all because we don't know their offense and we don't know their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Which, bunch of question marks just all across the board in that statement alone. But at the same time, we got to play and we got to see where our problems lack so that we could go ahead and fix them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's a neutral. I don't think it's a push one way or the other in the big, you know, grand scheme of things.
I actually tweeted this because I tweeted the moment when when it was announced that LSU was canceling their game. I'm thinking, well, LSU's going to be rested and ready, and we're going to be coming back to Starkville at 5 a.m., so advantage is LSU. And then someone replied to me, you've got the wrong take. Brennan Harris will have no practice reps. And I'm thinking this really is a glass half full/glass half empty scenario. So I agree with you, Ethan, that this is really neutral. This could go either way. I think this is one of the most evenly matched games in general that Mississippi State will play. So yeah, I do believe that this will be neutral as well. I agree with Ethan. And our final question, it seems to be our most, Owen and this guy, Mr. Bugsy J at JDog5513, seem to be our most popular questioners. We appreciate both of your questions, or your questions sent to our show. From Bugsy, do you think you will ever ascend to the level of fame achieved by @Charlie_Burris? Well, Charlie has his own radio show, so.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie seems to be pretty far up there in terms of sports bloggers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's the editor at Rocky. Is he just a writer? I don't know.
I don't know. Not to slight him, but he's kind of bounced around, so I don't know exactly what he's up to right now.
All I know is that he hosts a radio show, which is more than what we have. We are just a podcast. They're a radio show.
Which we actually, owe the podcast to him because without him, neither of us would be with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.
So, will we ever ascend to the level of fame achieved by Charlie_Burris? I don't know.
To be determined.
Yes, TBD.
Because we don't know how far, for all we know, Charlie's going to end up being a producer at ESPN and then he hires both of us to write there. Mm-hmm. So, we don't know.
Someday we could all be on College Game Day. That would be exciting.
Replacing Lee Corso and Herb Street and...
Except it seems like, David Pollack's pretty much already replaced Corso because Corso, in the first hour and a half of College Game Day, he was on for about a total of 15 to 20 minutes.
Corso is just such a gem. He's going to leave such a legacy.
The thing is, he's the only person that's actually been on College Game Day since College Game Day started. Chris Fowler wasn't the original host.
Who was the original host?
I believe it was Tim Brando.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to look it up.
They upgraded big time going from Brando to Fowler.
I'm looking it up right now.
Brando's a smart guy. But I'm not a big fan of him as a commentator.
Let's see, hosts. The original host was Tim Brando, who was the host from 1987 through 1988. He was replaced by Bob Carpenter, who was the host in 1989, who was replaced by Chris Fowler, who was the host from 1990 through 2014, who was replaced by Reese Davis, who is the host from 2015 to present. Lee Corso is the only person that started in 1987.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Do you know that Craig James was before Kirk Herbstreit?
No.
I believe that was another upgrade.
Yeah, not to slight these guys because they're, you know, infinitely better than us.
Yes.
But it's just, I think they've created such an atmosphere using Fowler that I don't think they ever could have had with Brando.
Yeah,
they have such good chemistry with the guys they had for so long.
Am I the only person that misses Chris Fowler?
I think, you know, Reese Davis is essentially Chris Fowler light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, diet Chris Fowler.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to replace Fowler, you have no other option besides Reese Davis.
Mm-hmm. And pretty much the only reason why Reese Davis became the host of College Game Day is because he was about to go to another network because he's that good.
He didn't deserve to be with where he was,
yeah,
with Mark Maine
and Lou Holtz. But I mean,
they're fun characters, Mark Maine and Lou Holtz. A lot of people don't like them. I actually enjoy the entertainment value from seeing them go back and forth. They're fun to me. But, he deserved so much more. And, you know, thinking about it right now, if Fowler hadn't stepped down, Reese Davis could probably be over running Fox Sports 1.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like Tim Brando? Because that's pretty much
Brando
what Tim Brando does.
Colin Cowherd and...
That's such a bad... That is such a bad lineup. That is an awful
like
line. No, I know you like Cowherd, and I can't stand you for that. It's such a bad... Tim Brando and Colin Cowherd is such a bad combo.
Would you say that they are the Sacramento Kings of sports broadcasting?
Yes.
Fox Sports 1?
Mm-hmm.
Potential to be really great, but with a bunch of characters that a lot of people don't necessarily like?
I mean, Fox Sports 1... The lineup that they had before the Mississippi State game was like MLB baseball, then UFC, then Mississippi State at Southern Miss.
What is their college football show or whatever?
I don't even know.
I haven't watched it.
I
know that Aaron Andrews on it.
Well, I mean that's a reason to watch it. But other than that, I've got.
She provides pretty quality content.
Certainly.
But I don't know who else is on there.
I don't know either.
See, they would have been smart to go after guys like Tim Tebow and Greg McElroy.
Mm-hmm.
Young talent that people would watch, but, I mean, they got beat out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Certainly. So, I guess that'll wrap it up with the questions.
Yeah, we kind of went away from... The original question.
And the original question was, will we be able to, oops, I lost the question. Here it is.
Will we be as famous as
Charlie? We don't know. TBD. So, that'll pretty much just wrap it up for the questions in this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
You know, last time we ended the show with, I think it was last time that I was disappointed with the athletic department.
Yes, it was. It was last time.
Well, you know, I'm still disappointed with them over the way the student ticket stuff is going.
Yes.
But right now I'm really impressed with the whole tiny home tailgate scene.
Tiny homes.
Which, one, I'm a big fan of tiny homes. Two, when I saw Georgia State or Georgia Southern, I don't know which one, I don't really care. They're small and irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. You know, I saw them doing it. I was like, why haven't we done something like this? This is incredible. Well, now we are doing something like it with the exact same company. And I mean, there's a negative side of it runs the average tailgater out a little bit because not everybody's going to be able to afford that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love tiny homes so much that I don't really care. And I don't really tailgate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hats off to Mississippi State for finding a way to get me interested in tailgating if I had a lot more money than what I do.
Well, there we go. So that will just about wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. For Ethan Lee, I'm Daniel Black. On Tuesday, we will recap the Mississippi State LSU game, go over our SEC picks, and talk about any other Mississippi State news that happens from now until Tuesday. But until then, thank you all for listening, and bye-bye, everybody.